Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Dear friends, have you ever supposed something wrongly? Like thinking Sunday was Monday and not getting dressed for church but for school or for work? Oh, who hasn't at some point or another supposed something wrongly? At times it might not be that serious, but other times it can be most dreadful and even fatal to suppose something that is not so. When Jesus arose from the dead and stood before Mary Magdalene, we are told in John 20, she supposed him to be the gardener of Joseph of Arimathea's estate. But how mistaken she was in thinking that! Likewise, when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, we are told, as we read in Luke 24, they were supposing him to be a spirit or a ghost. Again, how wrong they were! It is most interesting to consider different stories in the Bible telling of people supposing something that wasn't correct at all. Consider, for example, the case in Acts 21, where the Roman police officers and leaders were supposing Paul to have been some Egyptian terrorist. So we read in Acts 21, verse 38, the Roman chief captain saying to Paul, "Are you not that Egyptian, which before these days made an uproar and led out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" Paul was nothing of the sort, but it was wrongly supposed he was. Then there's the story in Luke 2, when Joseph and Mary went from Nazareth to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish feasts. On the way home afterwards, Joseph and Mary, they, supposing him, that is, 12-year-old boy Jesus, to have been in the company, went a day's journey. However, as they shockingly discovered after a full day of travel towards home, Jesus was nowhere to be found. Jesus had remained in Jerusalem, and there, after a couple of very anxious days, Joseph and Mary found Jesus in the temple among the Jewish leaders, both hearing them and asking them questions, as Luke tells us. When we wrongly suppose something, that can surely get us into all kinds of troubles and stressful situations. I'm sure you know of that too. One powerful text with the word supposing in it is what we find in Luke 3:23. It is just when Luke begins to give the genealogy of Jesus, going all the way back to Adam, a marvelous section of Luke's gospel by itself. Luke writes in verse 23 of chapter 3, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli," etc. Do you see how that phrase, "as was supposed," tells us here most people were just considering Jesus as, in fact, the son of Joseph and Mary together? This is what most people kept on supposing wrongly, Luke tells us. For the reality was and is, as we know from Matthew 1, verse 18 to 25, and from Luke 1, 35, and from the whole of Luke chapter 2, and Isaiah 7, verse 14, and more texts as well, that Joseph was not the actual biological father of Jesus. Not at all. He was only the adopted father. Jesus was conceived in Mary by God the Holy Spirit. That is the miracle of Jesus' incarnation. Jesus is God come in the flesh. And you see, just that little phrase then in Luke 3:23, "as was supposed," so confirms the inspiration and infallibility of Holy Scripture and gives reason to pause and to express praise to God for the perfect revelation of Christ in all his holy word. Plus, it gives more reason to have all confidence in Jesus Christ as one and only Savior of sinners, true God and real righteous man in one person indeed. Well, now, I'm supposing, hopefully not wrongly, that I'm catching your interest in this word supposing. Drawing from the two uses of this word supposing in the resurrection appearances of Jesus and how people supposed wrongly about the risen Savior, the theme for this message is God's answer to supposing something wrongly. We have 4 points under this theme. The first is how good of God to answer at all our wrong supposings. Won't you agree with me on this? When we people wrongly suppose something at any time, then God is at no time duty-bound to correct us. No, clearly it is simply and always God's gracious compassion and loving kindness towards us that the Lord goes out of his way to correct us whenever we incorrectly suppose something and surmise wrongly about whatever or whoever. Don't we have to say, surely, how merciful and loving of God to make clear to Mary Magdalene and to all his followers who he, Jesus, really was and is. In all the resurrection appearances of Jesus, when you study them, you find the Savior was correcting wrong supposings about him. So many mistaken thoughts and beliefs concerning his person and salvation work. Doesn't this give solid basis to say, the only remedy against all wrong supposings and mistaken conclusions that we might naturally come to of ourselves, especially in reference to the things of God and eternity, is the revelation of God in Christ Jesus and all his word. Imagine God Almighty, God all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, and infinitely holy and righteous and good, spending himself and giving of himself to correct and set right your and my mistaken human understandings and viewpoints on things. How eternally grateful to God we should be for his ministry of correcting incorrect conclusions and foolish supposings that we so easily and so often can and do make, left to ourselves. To show more how good of God to answer all our wrong supposings, let me mention a few from Scripture, which if God wouldn't correct for us, would result in such serious consequences. The first is one taken from 1 Samuel 16, where we are told about Prophet Samuel having to ordain a new king from one of the sons of Jesse, after King Saul was proving so unfaithful. When Samuel meets with the family of Jesse, we are told how impressed Samuel was with the oldest son, Eliab. Samuel thought, you could say, he supposed this Eliab surely would be the man of God's choosing for the next king. But then the Lord corrects this mistaken conclusion of Samuel. You know what God says to Samuel? Look not on Eliab's countenance or on the height of his stature, for the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Isn't this very important instruction for us too, dear friends? So often it is true, isn't it? We judge things just from the outside, but we are told God looks on the inside. God knows all things. How wrong and sad the viewpoint that thinks and acts as if what we see on the outside, that is really all that counts. The mark of hypocrites before God and our neighbor is hypocrites only always focus on the external just and not the heart of the matter and the hearts of people. And what about one's own heart before God and others? Oh, shouldn't we thank the Lord for correcting the wrong view on this matter and not leaving us to suppose that all that counts is what is on the outside? For truly, what is on the inside, a heart born again and converted to God or not, is what counts above all. As we know, David's life by God's grace would also demonstrate. David is described as a man after God's own heart, both in 1 Samuel 13 and Acts 13. So it should be with us, if it is well, by God's regenerating grace and saving power. Doesn't this make sense to you too? When Christianity focuses just on externals, it is so unbiblical, superficial, and not in accord with God's word and will at all. And I say, is it good always to know this and often to be reminded of this matter? Otherwise, we wrongly suppose external religion is the whole of religion. If you are hearing this and still are thinking wrongly in this regard, won't you too be corrected now by God's word? Next, let me bring you to the story in Acts 16 about the jailer in Philippi, that jailer who was responsible for the prisoners, including prisoners Paul and Silas. When God sent an earthquake resulting in the prison gates and bolts breaking loose and being opened, the jailer, we are told, was about to kill himself because he supposed the prisoners had all escaped and he would be blamed for it and face severe consequences, even punishment by death. But as the jailer was about to commit suicide, we are told in that passage, Paul and Silas intervened by urging him not to do so and letting him know not one prisoner had escaped, as he wrongly supposed. In that context, then, with that jailer's sense of misery and despair, they tell him the gospel message. And the jailer and his household, the Bible tells us, became saved, acknowledging Jesus as only Savior and Lord. We live in a world today where, like with the jailer, people wrongly suppose the way of suicide is a way out from our troubles and our sorrows and pains in this life. In our times, there is now even the added matter of people calling for assisted suicide as an additional form of health care to escape suffering from disease. Oh, how warped and wrong is such supposings that suicide, whether for relief from pain or shame or in looking for fame even, is ever a good thing to do. No, God alone is the author and taker of life, the Bible teaches us. No one may legitimately end his or her own life. Besides, the solemn reality ever remains, without Christ as your Savior and Lord, to live and die apart from him as deliverer of our sins means then going from unbearable sufferings here to insufferable agonies hereafter in soul and body forevermore. And that without remedy, not even a drop of cold water, even just once, Jesus forewarns in Luke 16. How good then to be corrected again from wrongly assuming and supposing something. Don't you think so too? For another example, teaching the same lesson, think next of 1 Timothy 6 verse 5, where Paul speaks of ungodly people and unsaved worldly church people supposing gain is godliness. Paul tells us there are such people in the visible churches and in our world, as he puts it, men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such turn away. Oh, don't we today live in such a situation, especially in the Western Hemisphere, where the false health and wealth gospel is rampant? How many churches and preachers and people wrongly suppose that it is actually gain in numbers and gain in fame and gain in wealth and gain in health that is the measure of true faith and being really blessed of God? But Paul, in God's name and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in this verse, no, that is a wrong interpretation. What the Lord looks for is a broken heart, sorry for sin and trusting Jesus Christ and rejoicing in him as only Savior and Lord above everything else. That is the measure of true faith and divine blessing, and not how much money you have or worldly fame and gain. In Luke 13 verse 2, Jesus corrects the false supposing also of people that were saying only great sinners suffer much sorrow, trouble, and calamity in this life. The reference was to the event when Pilate had killed certain Galileans while in religious worship. People were saying, well, they must have been great sinners. Jesus makes clear those Galileans were not necessarily worse sinners than others. I tell you, says Jesus in that context, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Again, how crucial to get this right, dear friends, the necessity of faith and repentance. How good for God to correct wrong and mistaken views that we can suppose and assume to our eternal doom left to ourselves. Can we ever thank the Lord enough for doing so? Take to this one more example, drawn from one of Jesus' parables. In Matthew 20, Jesus tells the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, telling of some discontented workers who supposed that they should have received more for their wages. We know that parable is told by Jesus to teach and to emphasize in the kingdom of God, it's all about salvation by grace alone. Supposing God owes us anything ever, and that we can earn his favors somehow, some way of ourselves, is always mistaken thinking. Such wrong thinking always reflects failure to understand how deeply we have fallen into sin, and how infinitely holy and pure is the Lord, and how that salvation is from the Lord, from start to finish, all by grace, with not one iota dependent on us, or on something conditional from us. What a common wrong conclusion, though, this still is in all the world, that somehow we can earn our salvation and gain God's favors through our works. It's in us all by nature, such thinking. But always it's futile thinking, and it leads to so much false religion and unchristian thinking and acting. I say again, how good then that God will correct these mistaken ideas and go out of his way to teach and guide us in right and good ways. Yes, in the gospel way of salvation, the way of salvation all by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. As the risen Savior, also now by his word and spirit, will minister to us by his word and spirit. Are you and I listening? Listening to him and his word? That we not be supposing something which is untrue and which can lead us so astray, even forever, if not corrected and converted by God. Here let us move to our second main point, still under the theme, God's answer to supposing something wrongly. God's answer is not only so good, but God's answer is very searching too, isn't it? God's answer is searching for consider in what ways are you and I, even now perhaps, wrongly supposing something. Can we not be wrongly supposing all kinds of things? In Acts 27, verse 13, we read of a shipmaster and their crew wrongly supposing that they had obtained fair weather and could set sail. The chapter tells what disaster they came to. In Acts 21, verse 29, we are told about religious Jews wrongly supposing that Paul had brought some Gentile by name of Trophimus into the temple of Jerusalem. And they sparked an uncontrollable riot because of wrongly supposing something. Then in Acts 14, verse 19, Luke tells a story of Paul being stoned at Lystra, and they left him outside the city, quote, supposing he had been dead. But it was wrongly supposed, and the following verse tells how Paul got up and continued in his missionary journey to the next city. In the Apostle John's writings, we also learn how people can suppose they love God and all is well, even when they live not in accordance with God's commandments and also live at odds with their neighbor. John, in God's name, states, no, that is not possible. The purpose and point with mentioning all these examples of wrongly supposing something is simply to show how easily we people can fall into this. How naturally we do this too, wrongly suppose something, whether it be something bad or good. So how searching this matter is now, also personally. Where and in what ways and with who are you perhaps wrongly supposing something? Do you wrongly suppose you can live in some secret sin and no one will ever find out and it won't affect anyone else either? Do you wrongly suppose you can live in some way in disagreement and defiance of God's word and will, and still be a true and healthy Christian? Do you wrongly suppose you can teach your children to walk in God's ways, even when you yourself won't be a humble, prayerful, diligent, consistent example of the same? Or are you wrongly supposing Bible doctrine is relatively unimportant, and all that counts is being loving and accepting to everyone? Never mind what people believe or how they behave? Or maybe you wrongly suppose you are too great a sinner for God to have mercy on you and to care still about you. Oh, I could go on and on here, couldn't I, telling of us wrongly supposing something in regards to God and the Bible and salvation and others and eternity and you name it. How many people today wrongly suppose, if you are someone sincere and true to your feelings, that is all that counts, and God will look upon you with his favor and blessings, regardless what you believe or how you live? How wrong, yet foolishly supposed by all too many in our times, most sadly so. Are you willing to search yourself about you wrongly supposing anything about anything and anyone, especially in regards to God triune and what is true Christianity or not? If we are honest in and with this searching question, won't you and I ask then too, how do we avoid wrongly assuming anything and mistakenly supposing something? How do we avoid it and keep from it? Isn't the answer to that question having God in Christ as your guide and guard in your life, and having his word always as the lamp to your feet and light upon your path? Isn't the answer to being part of a Christian church family and living and learning together in Christian fellowship with God and each other on the basis of and in faithful submission to all God's holy word? Don't we see this, in fact, in our two main texts, how Jesus' resurrected Savior ministered by his word and spirit of truth to remove all wrong impressions and mistaken notions, and the Lord also made reference to the other believers belonging to him as part of his body and ministry? All history proves whoever despises Christ Jesus as only Savior and Lord and will not walk in the light of his word and refuses to be diligent in Christian worship and fellowship walks in darkness, and as Proverbs 4:19 states, knows not at what they stumble. Saying this all, we come to our next main point in this message about God's answer to supposing something wrongly. His answer is good. His answer is searching. And thirdly, it is liberating. Oh, so very liberating indeed. Here, think of what it meant for Mary when the Lord Jesus corrected her wrongly supposing him to be some local gardener instead of the risen Jesus himself. With one word, just calling her name, Mary, all of a sudden the scales fell from her eyes. Mary also showed her transformation from deepest despair and distress to inexpressible joy and delight with her one word of response saying to Jesus, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, and falling at his feet in hearty worship and praise. The same liberating effect happened when Jesus made clear to the disciples in the upper room he was no ghost at all, as they wrongly supposed, but the resurrected Savior physically and gloriously among them in their very presence. The disciples' fears were removed, and they began to understand and embrace as never before the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Lord works by his word and spirit through Christ the Savior to correct whatever we wrongly suppose about anything or anyone, oh, it brings new life, revived hope, restoration of joy, and reconciling love before God and our neighbor. It brings a sense of purpose, too, and zeal for life, and removal of fear for death, and hearty anticipation for eternity. So it is still today. If you want to be set free from bondage and blindness in sin and from hurts and troubles with others, ask God triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in his mercy and love, by his word, to remove all that you mistakenly suppose and to guide you into all the truth. Isn't this same what Jesus teaches us as well when he says in John 8, verse 31 to 32, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you know and enjoy this freedom today? Freedom in God's ways of truth and grace, and finding in Christ Jesus and his word all your salvation and hope and refuge and help from all wrongly supposing of anything or about anyone? Isn't this true of all humble, repentant, believing recipients of Jesus' gospel ministry as resurrected Savior? Isn't this the only way to be kept also from wrongly supposing anything and to live in the light of the true and everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners? In that regard, our fourth point, just briefly, is how all-important always is the answer which Jesus gives us in response to wrongly supposing anything. Why is it all-important that you and I listen to Jesus' answer? Because the Bible warns in many places of people wrongly supposing all is well when not truly joined to Christ Jesus and not really listening to him. Jesus warns in Matthew 7, verse 22, as part of his Sermon on the Mount, that in the final judgment day, there will be many wrongly supposing they are going to heaven and saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that for you? And Jesus saying in response, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Listen, dear friends, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The Bible tells us so, no matter what people may wrongly and wickedly suppose. So yes, it's all important that none of you wrongly suppose anything, especially in regards to God and salvation and reconciliation with him, and living in the way of fullness of life here and with the promise of eternal life hereafter. Doesn't the Bible also urge us not to wrongly suppose we have more time to consider these matters? No, says the Bible, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, God's answer to supposing something wrongly. Thank God for his answer, always so good, so searching, so liberating, and so all-important for all people to trust and obey till journey's end. The truth as it is found in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, and the call to trust and obey him is so great and glorious and gracious and good for now and forever. When you rightly suppose about life, Christ Jesus is everything to you and his gospel word. And that faith keeps you from supposing wrongly on everything that counts for now and forever. And that is the gospel truth. So don't be supposing otherwise now. Do you hear? Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.